Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Yeah, it's been another wild boar of a week, and we're only on Tuesday. Is that what the gentleman's trying to offer up?
It's the pace we're going at nowadays. So yeah.
That's my bad. I should have had a new show open. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Here we get ready to do a political weekend review twice a week on the Really American Media platform, here on YouTube, here on Facebook. And then we'll have it available for download everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, because one day, crying out loud, just isn't enough.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, in all honesty, it's really not been enough. So, yeah, doing it 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, 3 o'clock-ish, give or take. You know, Nick and I came from the world of radio, where 3 o'clock is 3 o'clock. Now it's like, 3:02, close enough. You
know? Right, yeah, you That's do West feel Coast. Like you have a little bit of play, right?
That's right. So, yeah, we're live on the West Coast just after 3 o'clock on Tuesday. So if you are watching this on YouTube or Facebook, this is actually live. So feel free to comment and get vocal. Literally the name of the game.
That's right. Your chance to be a part of the resistance, for crying out loud. We'll get into just how much we're all a part of the resistance in a few moments here. We had some nice events here this past weekend. And look at that, Stephen. Already people in the chat raring to go for political talk.
Yeah, all over the place. What do we got? Toronto here. We got Australia. We got San Diego, Massachusetts. We got Indiana, Tucson, Arizona. I mean, hello. Global podcast. What do you know?
Yeah. And when we type back to the chat, we say it multiple times. Hello, everyone.
That's right. We got Spain. We got Alaska. Jeez. All right. So let's not disappoint the masses, Nick. there's never a lack of things to talk about in this day and age. But yeah, where to go? Where to begin?
Yeah. Well, some of these, this is funny, dude. Some of these first chats, get rid of Trump. We're trying, dude.
It's not up to us, or he would be gone. But yeah, we'll be talking about the midterm elections and who knows what else. Oh, hey, Washington staying on here.
Oh, look at that. Steve, I miss hearing you on the radio in Seattle.
Is that you? I don't know who the hell. No. And why would they point me out and not you? Nick and I were both on the radio in Seattle.
Well, they don't miss hearing me, dude. They miss hearing you.
Where did they listen from? Was it the Good Time Oldies, as you can see over there, or was it the Buzz, as you can see up there? So
yeah, was it one of the many? But the important part is here we are today, and we're going to hop into your Political Weekend Review Tuesday edition.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Indeed. All right, where are we starting off? With immature behavior or other topics? I don't know what we hiked as our main thing today.
I don't know either. We have a lot of important things to get to. I figured as we roll into this show, we should probably... Let's go over the New Kings, dude. Let's go over the New Kings protest that... Yeah. Let's go over the No Kings protest, dude, because, well, it was quite the protest.
It was. Sorry, if you're listening online, if you're listening to the actual podcast, I'm just laughing. Sorry, Nick, I just remember Steve's melodious voice. Is that a word, melodious? I guess so.
Melodic? I don't know. That's your girlfriend, but, you know, come on.
Yeah, she's working, but yeah, okay. No Kings protest. Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that because, boy, quite the turnout, quite the spectacle. And as I suspected, in the major cities, it was just a ton of people. You actually kind of got screwed by that, did you not?
I did get kind of screwed by that. I had an event to go to on Saturday, and yeah, it was just weird time for me to drive into downtown. And when I did, I drove downtown and got stuck in all the traffic. I couldn't even get out of my car, dude. I only had about an hour and 10 to play with. And yeah, I couldn't even get out of my car. Let's take just a quick peek here at, this is just a quick video of what some of the major cities looked like for No Kings Protest Day, Steve.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, these are some of the biggest cities. So coming in at number one was obviously New York, 250,000 people.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C., repping big, 200,000 march to the U.S. Capitol.
Chicago. Love it. My kid's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Did they say something? It was great. Huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia repping in a huge way. Wow. No numbers, but you can see. I mean, if you're watching the podcast, Austin, Texas repping the No Kings protest.
Yeah, look at that. Southern states. Wow. Just because it's a red state doesn't mean there's not libs in it, you know?
Yeah, look at Los Angeles, dude. I mean, I that makes me a little claustrophobic. San Francisco stepping up big.
Portland. I thought that place was on fire.
Yeah, I wonder how they're avoiding the bullets in the war-ravaged city. Yeah.
700 events, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest protests, I mean, if not the biggest protest in the history of the United States of America.
I think it was the biggest in the history of political protest in America. And boy, that says a lot to get anyone in America off their ass on Saturday and go outside and participate in something like that. Really does speak volumes. And for you, I know you got screwed by Seattle traffic, but what was the most disappointing part? That you didn't get to get out there with, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the protesters, or that you later found out Dave Matthews was in the crowd and you could have theoretically bumped into him?
Totally. Well, both. I mean, both. I'm going to be honest. I would have loved to have bumped into Dave, but yeah, Dave Matthews is, you know, he's obviously my favorite if you listen to the podcast. And yeah, I would have loved to bump into him. But just the overall energy, you know, usually when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm in the car, I'm just like, ugh, get me out of here. I turn into a real son of a bitch. And the energy ruminating off all of these people, I was just, I mean, there were times I was choked up. I was like, these are my people. These are the people that are coming together that know we have a fight on our hands, you know, and are doing something about it rather than just saying like, hey, we have a fight on our hands.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a fight on our hands in the No Kings protest, I mean, I was told that we're all a bunch of Antifa-loving, Hamas-supporting, extreme left-wing terrorists, that we all hate America. Yet there were multiple arrests on No Kings protest day, but none of them were liberals.
They were just agitators from the red side? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, the last report I read was 22 arrests, which is not a lot in the grand scheme of 7 million people out there. But they were all mega types that showed up to be asshole instigators. So yeah. I definitely find that humorous that, yeah, we dispelled the, I mean, not that it was ever in question, but this myth that we're all a bunch of left-wing extremists. 7 million of us showed up and not one car was flipped over, burned down. We didn't overthrow any governments. I mean, come on.
Think about this, dude. Not, you know, 7 million and not one mass shooting happened. Not one mass shooting took place. It would have been a great place for that to take place. But, you know, we don't shoot people right on this side.
No, for sure. And yeah, so I did get out there and I did have a crazy little experience that about a million of you have already watched it on Really American. But shall I recap the highlights of my small town adventure?
Yeah, please do, because it was big time small town, in my opinion.
It was. Hey, look at all these Seattle people. We got multiples on here. So that's
loving
good.
It, dude.
Yeah, PNW. Yeah, boy, I had quite the experience. I really wanted to go to our local No Kings protest, which if I move my head back there, my picture of Lake Tahoe, that's where I call home. And I cannot get to the bigger one in Carson City, Nevada, capital of Nevada. It was too early in the morning. But I went to Tahoe in the afternoon on the South Shore there. And I've done a lot of protests there over the years, either showing up or I show up to cover them too, doing, you know, radio.
Right.
This is by far the biggest. I mean, I don't have an exact count, but certainly well over 1,000 people, you know, potentially 2 or 3 over the course of the couple hours came and went. And that was impressive. It was impressive enough that several thousand people showed up. And I went around talking to people, and that was fun. And I got a bunch of pictures of good protest signs, a couple of which Really American shared on their various social medias. So yeah, That's cool. But, yes, I then had this crazy experience where – I don't know if anyone in Tahoe actually understands that I work for Really American and that I have this sort of national platform at my disposal.
Well, let's back up, dude. So Steve owned the radio stations in Lake Tahoe for a while. And had, I mean, you were the biggest person that could get the word out in Tahoe's area for a long time. And that's how people know you there.
Correct.
So, you know, they still find you as that person, like, oh, the media is here.
True.
But yeah. To know that you have the world captivated on some level, you know what I'm saying? I don't think they know.
No, they don't. And so a lot of people's pictures have been, you know, shared worldwide because of that. But yeah, I had this crazy experience where I covered the whole thing. I interviewed a bunch of people. I was taking pictures. And then I noticed two Trump supporters showed up at this little small town rally and they stuck themselves right in the middle of it all. And it was actually a mega mom and daughter.
Which is just odd. First of all, okay. I'm not against at all protesting with your kids. I mean, she seemed of age to go out and protest, high school kid. But when you're showing up to antagonize and to instigate, I think that's so inappropriate, dude. That, like, what? All these people are here, and you're going to go basically metaphorically spit in their face with your child? It just seems odd to me.
It is. Listen, I don't want to frown on their free speech rights because they have the right to, but there is a little common sense involved. I guarantee you, if two lone liberals showed up to a massive mega protest, they would get their asses kicked. I mean, we saw it with the Charlie Kirk vigil the night of his shooting, where one liberal goes by and just says, fuck Charlie Kirk, and the whole mob just, you know, obliterated the guy.
Totally.
So I actually think they were treated quite well, but I went over and actually talked to them because at first I couldn't believe that there were Trump supporters there. So I went and I did a brief little interview with the mom for what she was willing to tell me. And I asked her, like, first of all, are you the lone Trump supporters? And she was like, yeah, I guess we are. And I was like, what do you like about Trump? And she gave some just non-answer, which I knew they were the real deal, as soon as she could list no reasons as to why she supported Trump. She said something like, oh, he's bringing back America's good old days. Like,
yeah,
the hell does that even mean? The good old days when that woman probably couldn't vote. But and I'll tell you, too, one of the funny reasons I know that this kid was a high school student.
Yeah.
As soon as I brought up to my son, who was 16 and is a local high school kid, I was like, there was some Trump-loving, you know, teenage high school-looking girl there. And he was just like, oh, no, show me her picture. And I showed him her picture, and he was just like, I know exactly who that is. I remember this now. He told me a year ago that some girl was kind of flirting with him at school, and then he found out she was a Trump supporter and just like a Kool-Aid drinking level. And he was just like, I want nothing to do with her.
Yeah, dude. Can you imagine him bringing her home for Christmas?
Right. You know? Yeah. No, I cannot. So, yeah. So as soon as I got done doing this little brief interview, I kind of feel like I put a spotlight on them. And as soon as I stepped away, the crowd kind of gathered in around them, not in a like confrontational sort of way. I mean, not like physically confrontational, but they all started chanting, fuck Donald Trump, fuck Donald Trump. I mean, they were drowning these two out. And people started putting their big flags in front of their Trump thing. Like, they were really, you know, attempting to dry them out. And
they were doing what needed to be done, dude. That's exactly what they should have started doing, you know?
Right. And normally, like we were talking last week on the show, normally they have protesters and counter protesters in a separate area. So I don't know if they just didn't think any Trumpers were showing up, but there was nothing like that. And these two made no attempt to be on one end or the other. I mean, they wanted to be smack dab in the middle. They were clearly looking for trouble, right? I mean, they wanted attention at a minimum, but you have to expect trouble.
Most of those Trump supporters, most of those maggots that own a flag are looking for trouble.
Yes.
You know, we don't have flags. We don't have a flag, dude.
No, the American flag, goddammit. Yeah. And by the way, they're a bunch of cheapskates because the Trump flag was Trump, let's go Brandon. Like, the whole let's go Brandon thing is so outdated. You know, Brandon didn't even run for president. So get a new freaking flag if you're at least going to, you know, show up.
You're really committed, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So anyway, the crowd starts chanting. And at this point, I just kind of step back and I'm kind of laughing at the fact that here I am, you know, co-host on the Vocal Minority, one of the really American daily hosts, and these people are doing this shit right in front of me. So I've got my camera and I'm just sitting here stepping back, and I figure, like, this is going to escalate into something. And when they all started chanting, you know, fuck Donald Trump at them, I figured that was good enough. Like, it's funny that they all got shouted down.
Sure.
But then, of course, Mega just can't let anything go. So the little high school girl starts arguing with all these adults, which that was funny enough. But then the mom actually took things up to a whole nother level. So let me
imagine that, dude, like mother, like daughter.
Right? I mean, way to teach the kids, lead by example. So I'm just going to show you the raw video. It's like 10 seconds. So then it's going to end with a little slow motion zoom in. So you can watch this woman. She, you know, she starts getting in a confrontation with a liberal protester. The lib person, and at first I thought it was a man, but it is a woman. I looked into it. Okay. They just held their sign up. I want to say in her face, like they didn't shove it like directly in her face, but she's mouthing off and they held their sign up in a like read the sign sort of thing. And then this is what happened. Bam, there she goes grabbing the sign. People come in and break up the scruffle. And here's the slow motion. You can see she grabs the sign, breaks it in half basically.
Freaking idiot, dude. Right. That's illegal. I mean, you can't do that, right?
It is straight up illegal. I have done a couple of videos here for Really American about that fact. I did one a couple of months ago. I think it was Idaho or maybe Iowa, one of those I states, where some, you know, Trumper pulled over and somebody had anti-Trump signs on a freeway overpass. He started tearing them down. Dude got arrested.
Yeah.
There's a famous video on YouTube of a college girl that shows up to a pro-life rally, you know, they're anti-abortion, and she takes one of their signs and runs away. And even though she gave it back to them, she got arrested. You can't do it.
No.
It's theft. It's vandalism. It's a form of battery. Like, it's just not legal. Yeah. So all those people there were apparently volunteers with the city and the No Kings people, and they tried to break it up. And then the woman, it escalated again, and she got in the protester's face, and she started pumping her fist, like holding her flag, which is known as menacing. You know, like she broke the law several different ways. And at no point did any of the No Kings people sink to her level. No one did anything physical or confrontational beyond verbal with her at all.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way we argue, too, right? I mean, we have facts, we can sit and we can talk, and we can tell you what's going wrong, but when you run out of things to actually say that are true and factual, that's where you go. You go to taking the sign, this is bullshit, I hate this. But, you know, when you saw all those people react to that of just like, what the hell, dude? And they didn't go grab her sign and they didn't push her or things didn't get violent.
Right.
That's just one of the differences between the two sides that's happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole thing sort of tapered off after that. And I will tell you, so I did two different versions of that news story. I did one for Really American, where it's my honest to God opinion and take on things. It's me unfiltered, as I always am here on this platform. At some point today, that thing's going to hit 1 million views. So if anyone hasn't seen it, I would encourage you to go check the whole thing out. Because not only does it have the fight thing in there, but it's got interviews with people, you know, that I met on the street. Right. It's a good little segment. But then I also do local news here in Tahoe. So I did a separate version of it where I wrote it in almost a lawyerly-like thing. I wanted to be, you know, bipartisan. I did not want my opinion to come across.
Walter Cronkite. Dude.
Right. Now, you know, I mean, maybe the fact that I even covered the event, some people would say, makes me a liberal. But so I posted that thing locally on my local news channel. And, it did. I had to shut the comments off because so many Mega Stooges were threatening violence, and it was just name calling, and it was denialism, and people started accusing me of being biased, which is hilarious because it's not biased if you cover an event that makes someone look bad.
Right.
Just because my coverage made the Mega people look bad does not mean it's biased. I just simply showed everyone what it was. I simply stated that that is generally illegal to do. And yeah, people are just going off, and it was hilarious. And one person wanted me to – I went around asking people, like, what's your message to Trump? And this one woman was so pissed off that I didn't fact check what people were telling me. It was their opinion. It was their answer to like, what are you going to fact check?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to real time fact check during this. Like, this is your opinion. You know, I'm just getting everyone's voice out here.
I was going to say, it's an opinion. You can't even fact check it. And I noticed that woman didn't ask me to fact check the MAGA mom who said that Trump was making America great again and taking it back. Right. So only fact check the people that make you look bad. So, yeah, I find it hilarious. And several people asked, you know, how come you didn't send this to the police? Well, I did. So I'm going to let them. I'll let them do whatever the hell they want to do with it. I sent them a link on, you know, through Facebook to their Facebook page. And, you know, I wasn't trying to be involved in the story at that point. I was just trying to cover it. And same with putting out the story locally. Like, I'm just covering it. The cops, it's small town. Everyone's going to see that thing. So they can take it from there.
What do you think the reaction will be? Like, if you had to pick, will they do anything about it? Or is this just like, it happened, whatever?
I would assume that's going to be their response. It happened. No one was bludgeoned. I'm sure they don't want to get into a big political thing. But if they're going to follow the letter of the law, they absolutely should.
Yeah.
It was battery or vandalism or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's pretty clear. It was menacing for sure. So this will be a good little test of the small town cops to see if they want to you know, do anything at all or just hear no evil, see no evil.
It was nice to be able to prove people wrong on a national level. And in fact, you know what? I heard some people on our last Friday's podcast were talking about, I heard there's a No Kings protest in Australia. Like, this happened worldwide in some areas, not at large like it did here, but, you know, that's pretty impressive. We saw all the people from Mike Johnson to the other idiots talking about, on Fox News, this is going to be, what is it, I Hate America Day or whatever.
Yeah. You know,
like, I'll tell you what, dude, I watched a lot of coverage on this. Like, I was downtown Seattle, I saw some of this, and it's crazy that people were proper. They were kind. They were all the things that we walk side by side with, you know?
Yes.
So in numbers that large, I was impressed to see that, because you're always going to, I mean, let's face it. We've said a lot of times here, people that disagree with Trump, some of them are idiots too. You know, like, we're not all as great as Steve and I. You know, come on. Right.
Clearly.
So it was nice to see that. I got a couple of things I want to talk about here. John Stewart made some great points about this No Kings protest.
Okay.
And the fact that, all these maggots are saying, like, you know, what are you guys talking? We don't have a king. We don't. You're right. We don't have a king. We don't want a king. And it's getting closer.
Yeah, we got someone acting like it. That's the whole point. I saw so many people in the comments, even on my local news story, like, I guess your protest worked. We still don't have a king.
Right.
Bite me, a-holes. Like, the fact that he's acting like it, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So the way I saw John Stewart cover part of this, it was just interesting to me and something for us to think about here as we watch.
All right, let's see what the Declaration says. Give me a beat. Come on. The Declaration says, he has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. Done. Cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. That does sound familiar. He has obstructed the administration of justice. It's getting hot in here. And here's one more. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us. I mean, come on. I'm calling it. Look, maybe Trump isn't an all-powerful king, the kind who can do whatever he wants, but he's undeniably king adjacent, king-esque.
Wannabe. Yeah, that's the whole freaking point. He's a wannabe dictator, authoritarian king. And by the way, all of his little AI videos that he was rage tweeting this weekend, I find them disgusting, immature, and all that, and we'll talk more about it. But ultimately, we're driving the man batshit crazy, literally and figuratively. That is why they are saying it's an I Hate America rally, and he's posting his little AI Top Gun videos and stuff. Like, it is working. Attacking his narcissism is the best way to hurt him.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, we, like you said, we saw it with his AI videos, which I'm getting so tired of the fact that he's using these AI videos to pump up his base. And I mean, the one that he posted was so inappropriate. As far as I don't know if everyone saw it or not, Donald Trump was in a fighter jet and he was flying around these No Kings protests and dropping human feces on all the people that were protesting, right?
I don't know if it's human feces, in fairness.
Well, it was feces. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for checking me, Steve. I need to be checked once in a while.
Yeah. And he was dropping it on actual, like, models of human, like, you know, Harry Sisson or whatever the hell his name is, like the young liberal dude.
Yeah.
Which you can try to laugh at that if you want, but you are painting a target on a kid like that when Trump singles him out. I know it's an AI fake video, but still, you're sending a message to the Proud Boy types out there that this is an enemy of ours.
Exactly. This is who to get. Go get them. You know, it's just like when Trump said to the Proud Boys, stand back, stand by. You know, like it's a dog whistle, basically, of like, hey, he's an enemy. You want to pick on someone? Go get him.
Yeah.
This was this AI video of him flying this fighter jet was all set to Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone from Top Gun, right?
Yep.
I read this morning that Kenny Loggins said he in no way gave permission to do that and that he would like it to be, you know, taken down and never used again. He used it without his permission.
They requested a flyby and he said, negative, Ghost Rider, battery's full.
That's exactly right. Well said, my friend. Loggins stated he would have denied permission if asked and expressed that he can't understand why anyone would want their music associated with something created to divide people.
Right.
He did then come out and say, you know, he can't use Danger Zone, but I do have a couple of other songs that he can use. You know, I'm not going to give permission for Danger Zone, but we'll give him permission for other songs of mine.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
So Trump's using him.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
They cut loose.
So, yeah, he emphasized the need for unity and patriotism, saying there is no us and them. We're all in this together. And he hopes music can be a force for connection. That's sweet.
They got to stop that shit, literally and figuratively, again. I mean, the list of musicians that have said, stop using my music, has gotten so freaking long. I've done videos on it where I literally run out of breath as I'm sitting here reading through the long list. And I know some people find it comical, but copyright violation is a real thing. Like taking somebody's creative property, their intellectual property, and using it, it's a real freaking thing. And the White House, because they've got their immunity and because Trump thinks he's a king, they just keep asking for, well, I want to say forgiveness and not permission, but they don't offer any forgiveness. It's just a middle finger. We're going to use whatever we want. And when you threaten to sue us, sure, I guess we'll take it down. But the damage is done at that point. And then now celebrities and musicians, whether you're Kenny Loggins or Chappell Roan or Metallica, like now you got to come out and put yourself on the line and denounce this stuff.
Yeah. No, I love it when people step up and denounce it. Gosh, we just had somebody say on the chat, like, yeah, let's just keep it to Kid Rock and Ted Nugent. And, you know, that's the problem is they have such a tiny list of people that they can actually pull from. Oh, Lee Greenwood's Lee on Greenwood. That list, yes. Too. So, yeah.
No, exactly. And I do find it funny. One of Kid Rock's biggest hits, American Badass, that they all love so much, it's set to a Metallica song, which is why they can't use it for any of that political stuff, because Metallica gave Kid Rock permission to do it for just that song, but not to put it on political propaganda and whatnot. So, yeah. Nice job.
Yep, 100%. They've made that very clear. Metallica wants nothing to do with Trump, as most talented musicians do not, so...
Right. And yeah, I truly find this behavior to be disturbing. I mean, we have a bunch of high school bullies running our country right now. I mean, seriously, this is the kind of crap my son puts up with on Instagram and whatnot. Like AI videos and bullying and just F you. I'm never going to say I'm sorry. I mean, we saw Mike Johnson defending that Top Gun video. J.D. Vance, not only did he defend it, he posted it on Blue Sky, which all of Trump...
How did they defend it? I didn't see him. Would they just say, we're joking, it's funny?
Yes. No. Mike Johnson said something about no one is more effective at using social media to make a point than President Trump.
Like propaganda, you mean?
Right. And all of this talk about, you know, whether a president should be a unifying force and if we're calling for violence and if we're taking the temperature up or down. And like, it's all completely preposterous that clearly this kind of thing is raising the temperature. And yes, you're putting a target on the Harry Sissons of the world and of those videos and yeah. Just looking like an immature twat waffle. Which is one of my favorite new words.
Twat waffle? I love that, dude. Where'd you get that?
Someone on Really American, they commented on one of my videos that someone was being a twat waffle. So yeah. I think that's a British thing.
But, I like that a whole bunch, dude.
And then speaking of immature behavior, what do you think about all this your mama stuff that's been going on at the White House this week?
Yeah, we can talk over this. Is just this is all I have for showing the text of some of this stuff, but... Yeah, explain the story to me a little better, dude. I understand that there is some sort of text going back and forth. Did this start with Caroline Leavitt?
Yes. So, yeah, what you're seeing right there, this was in response to somebody from the Huffington Post asked why they were going to have this peace summit between Ukraine and Russia in Budapest. Who suggested Budapest, the reporter asks. And frickin' Caroline Leavitt, I don't know if that was her or her rep, but replied, your mom did. Who asked for that? Your mama did. Right. Like, this is a representative of our fucking government saying your mom asked for it.
It's unbelievable, dude. You're right. This is the kind of shit that your kid deals with in high school.
Yeah. Oh, so that was Stephen Chung, who's a representative of, in Carolyn Leavitt's little world there, said the your mom thing. And then, again, you would think that when they see the blowback, that they when they see how dumb this looks, that they would just probably step away slowly. But no, the Pentagon's top press aide is horning in on the White House press secretary Caroline Leavitt's childish insult game, telling the Huffington Post that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth wore a tie that resembled the Russian flag because, quote, your mom bought it for him.
It's unbelievable, dude. I don't even really know what to say about it.
Right. What can you say? This is literally grade school immature bullying stuff. Your mom did. And by the way, the tie he was wearing, I don't know if you saw it. It was red, white, and blue, but it was striped in the pattern of the Russian flag. And one of the, let's see here, Hegseth wore the neckwear during the Ukrainian visit to the White House, for which he won compliments from a top aide to Russian dictator Vladimir Putin and the official Russian news agency TASS, praising him for wearing a tie that looked like the looked like the Russian flag.
These are the guys that beat the shit out of Zelensky when he showed up to the White House, just not wearing something nice enough. But right. It's just crazy, and I really do think before they make these moves, is there thought put into it? Like, as far as like, ooh, I'm gonna get them big. This will be so funny. Or do they just pull it out of the closet and wear it?
A little of both. I do think they think it's funny. I mean, obviously, this Department of Defense person knew damn well that this Yo Mama thing was already out there and decided that they would pile on it. So yeah. They understand they're being dumb and immature, but they think that's appropriate. Yeah. And that's the level of discourse. They don't feel like they can argue back with facts or some sort of intelligent discourse. They just got to go to your mom jokes because that's the level of idiots running our country. I mean, it is the movie Idiocracy, which I finally watched in full. The Mike Judge movie, the guy from Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, wrote this movie eons ago. And it was about the fact that America is not going to evolve to be smarter, or planet Earth won't. We're going to evolve to be dumber because the mega types, the rednecks, are breeding at a rate that outpaces the smart people. So eventually we end up with just complete morons. And one of the funny things is that president in that movie is this celebrity, you know, wannabe tough guy, and his cabinet is just a bunch of fucking morons. And that is what we have happening. They put on like extreme fighting matches at the White House to get the rubes all riled up. I mean, this movie came out like 20 years ago and it looks like a freaking documentary now.
Yeah, maybe this is where they pulled some ideas from, you know, because
I do wonder.
It's crazy. I'm gonna have to watch that movie. I've never seen it.
Yeah. So there you go. I am perplexed. Literally, this is crap I would tell my son not to get down in the gutter with. Like, don't talk to someone that way. Don't tell him you're right. Yeah, but
don't engage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely nuts. Well, hey, did you see that they've started demo on the White House?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely saw that, which is odd because Trump said that there would be no demolition of the White House. It was bad enough when they started cutting all the trees down to make room for this freaking ballroom. But Trump had originally said that this would not affect the facade of the White House, that this thing would butt up next to it, but wouldn't affect it.
Yeah, wouldn't affect it at all. I don't know. This video looks like it's being affected to me, dude.
slightly.
Yeah. Come on. Having a little issue with my play today. Well, maybe I won't be able to play it.
It won't interfere with the current building. I won't be. Oh. It'll be near it, but not touching it. And pays total respect to the existing building, which I'm the biggest fan of. It's my favorite. It's my favorite place. I love it.
Wow.
Is that not unbelievable, dude? I wish that was AI. Like, that's the time you use AI. I cannot believe that, you know, when Trump made his way into office, I thought, oh, there's going to be checks and balances, people to stop him from doing completely heinous, stupid shit. When I see, I don't even know how to talk about that large machinery breaking through the White House. That is insane to me. When they tore the Rose Gardens down, I thought, you know, that seems completely inappropriate to me, dude, that they would, you know, get rid of such a historical place and everything else. But, I mean, you see tractors or, you know, heavy equipment breaking down the White House. It's freaking nuts, dude.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get a good answer out of what D is asking here. Surely it's illegal to damage historically important buildings. I mean, clearly it is. I also know that presidents can make some changes or alterations, but I mean, good grief, knocking down half the building to build on a ballroom that no one asked for, that Congress didn't approve the spending for. I know that the White House is under the jurisdiction of the Parks Department there. I mean, I would assume there has to be something wrong, illegal about what he is doing. Like, no one has to approve this? You're telling me a president can just go in there and literally bulldoze the place? And make the perfect metaphor for what he is doing to America, by the way.
Completely. It's my favorite building. It's a favorite building of mine, Steve.
And he just is dumping all over it. And like we've been saying on the show, man, like he just wants to remake everything in his image. This arc de Trump that he's talking about. And people, we're what, 6-7 months into this craziness? He is just going to keep freaking going. You remember when Obama, back in 2010 or something, at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, Trump was in the audience and Obama started roasting him?
Yes, and it was done well, by the way.
Yes, but Obama put up a picture of, if Trump's ever in the White House, that he's going to, you know, renovate the whole place. There'll be gold everywhere, neon Trump signs everywhere. I mean, that is essentially what he is doing. And I hope Obama didn't, you know, inspire it per se, but
I think that night, dude, Trump saw all those pictures and was like, I could do that? I could make it mine that way? Yeah, because we've seen all his Hobby Lobby shit in the Oval Office, you know. So, yeah, that's what he's doing.
No, he absolutely is, and it will not be the end of it. So, yeah, there goes the White House.
People still screaming to show us the Epstein files. You know, when are we going to see those Epstein files? Has that little Betty from Arizona been sworn in yet, Steve?
No, she sure hasn't. And Mike Johnson is just tripping all over himself trying to figure out how to justify that, because he can't. I heard his latest thing is the Pelosi standard. Well, Pelosi once waited 21 days to swear in a new member. And the reporter was quick to point out, yet that new person picked that day that was 3 weeks down the road. And Pelosi just said, okay, you want to do it in 3 weeks? I'll do it in 3 weeks. Like, it is such bullshit. Obviously, there is no valid reason. And everyone knows that that person's going to be, I think it's the 218th vote that will release the Epstein files. Yeah. And as Eric Swalwell said a week or two ago, that there's a bunch of Republicans telling him privately that if we know you have the votes, we're going to vote for it too. Because we don't want to be seen in the eyes of history as voting against releasing it. So I don't think they'll be released by one vote. I think it's going to end up being a little bit of a tidal wave. And, of course, Trump knows that's coming.
What is your prediction? Does it finally make a difference in any of this? You know, we go back in time a little bit to – I remember when the Access Hollywood tapes out, Grab 'Em by the Pussy, when it was going to come out on debate night, I was like, it's so over, dude.
Right.
You know, is it so over when they release these Epstein files and he's in them all over the place?
Listen, to some extent, I think it matters what. Like, I have been saying for a while that Trump clearly knew what Epstein was up to. That birthday card, that is not the body of a woman. That's the body of a little teenage girl.
Yeah.
He knew what Epstein was doing. Whether or not Trump was actually on the island, whether or not he did something with any underage girl, like, that part I don't know. And I would love to say that if that comes out of the Epstein files, that of course everyone would reject him. But that is not true. His base, at least 30% of them, he could be banging little boys in a schoolroom closet and they would find a way to justify it. Yeah. Or they'll just say it's a deep fake, it's all a conspiracy, Cash Patel's out to get it. Like, they will twist themselves into a pretzel to not let anything stick to Teflon Don.
Yeah.
But the middle of the country, the rest of us, like, yes, I think there will be massive outrage. And so maybe that will lead to the landslide we need in the midterms. Maybe we could actually impeach him then, like, maybe. But Trump is clearly freaking out. So he knows what's in there and they don't want it to come out.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll get past, oh, this is just a Democratic hoax, you know, that, I mean, he's going to carry that forward if anything comes out for sure, but it is going to, I mean, hey, listen, Republicans are in control of everything. Someone just says, is talking about Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi is controlled by Donald Trump for better or for worse. So, you know, it's going to take somebody to come out and say, oh, no, we're not going to put up with this. And I have a feeling people like Pam Bondi are going to get on the train of saying it's a Democrat hoax.
Okay. I thought you were saying she's going to get on the train of the right side of history and help throw it out.
No, dude, that would never happen.
No, it never will. And yes, Glenn there is right. We have heard accounts of pictures with Trump with girls. And like I said, I think the use of the word girls by Michael Wolff, who was Trump's biographer and who Epstein tried to hire to be his biographer, he said that Epstein showed him the pictures of Trump with topless girls, not women, girls. Not women. Right. So, of course stuff is going to come out. But will it actually change anything in the mega base? No. He could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue. He was not wrong when he said that outrageous thing back in 2016 or whatever it was. So
no, we all laughed at that, dude. We thought it was crazy. And, you know, he wasn't joking, and it is true. So Trump continues to run across the country and try to get people to pledge his allegiance to him, you know, from generals to other politicians. He's been asking, what's going on with Marjorie? What's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene? I mean, she's acting kind of strange. Did you guys stop drugging her, or, you know, what's the deal here?
I love the fact that she's sounding normal as people are like, what's wrong with her? she's been drugged.
Yeah. I think that, you know, he's going to continue to ask for that allegiance for this very moment of the Epstein files coming out. He had some exchange that was hilarious where Brian Glenn is Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend. You know, he's that douchebag who talked about Zelensky.
Yeah. Not wearing the suit. Yeah.
Yeah, he came out and said they're in the Oval Office, they're having this rap session, and the media is there for some odd reason. And he says, you know, I know you won in Georgia, sir. You know, like, I'm from Georgia, so like in 2020, I'm pretty sure I know you won. And Trump is like, yes, I did win. I did win. You know, I don't like the word you use there, pretty sure. I want you to say you know I won. And he said it, dude. Well, then Trump realizes that Newt Gingrich is in the room. And he was like, the great Newt Gingrich is in the room with us here. Newt, you think I won in Georgia? And, you know, basically asking, like, for his allegiance. Again, like, you think I won in Georgia, don't you, Newt? And he said, he said something like, yeah, I think maybe you could have won in Georgia.
You could have. Yeah, sure, you could have. He was on the ballot.
It was like, Newt said I was the best president of all time, except for maybe George Washington. I don't like that you said that. And, like, was trying to actively have him say, like, you know, you were better than George Washington.
Well, was that who said that he was top three and Trump was pissed?
Yes.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Somebody told Trump, you're in the top three presidents of all time. He was like, not good enough. Number one, you're on the podium, asshole. Come on, Newt. Obviously not even true either.
Right. I mean,
yeah. Top three worst coming in number one with a bullet there.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, he is walking around still asking for people to pledge their allegiance to him. So I don't know what's going to happen when those Epstein files are released, but release them. Damn it. It's time.
Yes. Hey, speaking of number one with a bullet real quick, segue. Sure. Are you familiar with the Supreme Court case that's going to be heard as to whether or not marijuana smokers should be allowed to own guns?
No, I am not. That seems odd.
Yeah, so the Republican administration favors Second Amendment rights, but the government attorneys have asked the Supreme Court to review a law about whether or not it's okay for a pot smoker, somebody who admits they consistently smoke pot, to own a gun or not. So this goes back to a 2022 decision. Oh, no, I'm sorry. In 2022, the Supreme Court expanded greatly the justification for having no infringement on the second right, Second Amendment gun rights. And some guy in Texas was arrested and had a bunch of pot and coke in his house and admitted that he, you know, routinely smoked pot. And
right.
So this law basically said that, no, you can't infringe on the rights. And Trump has asked the Supreme Court to review it. Because even though they claimed to be constitutional lovers, they claim that the Second Amendment cannot be infringed on, Trump is now trying to get pot smokers not to be able to have a Second Amendment right. And we saw recently he wants all transgender people to not be able to own guns because they have a mental illness.
Transgender for everyone.
Right.
What does this mean, dude? I you know, this is insane to me. And you asked me if I've heard about it. No, I haven't. I would really be curious to see how many people have heard about this. Are they trying to keep this one a little under the radar? Because, well, the NRA doesn't usually want anyone to be restricted from having guns, and they're a big supporter of Trump, right?
That is true, but the NRA is on the right side of this, if you ask me. The NRA does not support a federal ban prohibiting marijuana users from owning firearms, just like the NRA came out and said they're not in favor of taking them away from transgender. I mean, yeah. At least they're being consistent with their, you know, jerk-off love of the Second Amendment. But, yeah. You know, just let me just say on behalf of all stoners on planet Earth, you would much rather have us have a gun than any raging alcoholic. I have a cop friend who told me once, I would rather show up to a domestic violence disturbance where the dad is baked out of his brain rather than the guy being drunk off his ass. Yes. Because the drunk guy, you don't know what he's going to do. The stoner, like, please, man, who cares?
I don't know, but I've been around weed for more than half of my life, and I've never seen anyone act erratic on pot.
Right.
Okay. Alcohol? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10. I don't know the statistic would be, but yes, erratic behavior. Alcohol, not pot.
No, absolutely. I would say that all gun owners should be required to be a stoner. That would probably take gun deaths and violent outrage way the hell down.
Totally. Do we go out and use this bad boy, click, click, or do you just want to chill and eat some pizza?
It's so true. Alcohol is when you get all enraged and I'm going to fight. And pot's just like, you know what, man, just it's cool. Like, you know, all goes.
Yeah, peace and love. Peace and love.
Yeah. Pete Davidson had a great stand-up bit about how, you know, he's a better driver when he's stoned, because when he's sober driving, everything pisses him off. He's road raging constantly. But he's like, right, when I'm baked and I'm stuck in traffic, it's like, I don't know, turn on the radio, just chill, relax. It is exactly. So freaking true.
It is.
So, yeah, the Trump administration would like to take guns away from all stoners. So, obviously, they feel that only liberals smoke pot. But man, are they wrong. I mean, come on. So many people in this country smoke pot, way more than acknowledge it, but it is definitely a bipartisan issue.
Yes. Have you ever been angry, stoned? Have you ever been real mad stoned?
That's a great question. Like, when I tipped my bong over, I was like, yeah, like bong water everywhere, man.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no. I am very similar to Pete Davidson. Like, road rage when I'm stoned, no. I got a shouting match with a grandma a couple of weeks ago, and if I was baked, it would not have happened.
You did?
I did. I don't think I told you the story.
No.
Listen, I'll give you the brief version, but I'm going down a road, 55-mile-per-hour zone. There's a grandma in front of me, a bunch of cars behind me, and there's a bicyclist on the shoulder. On the shoulder, like bicyclists are, right? Yeah. This grandma on a roadway, 55-mile-per-hour zone, slams on her brake and starts yelling at the bicyclist, like as if he's blocking traffic. So everyone behind me, all start honking at this lady. The guy on the bike looks at the grandma and was like, go. Like, what are you doing? So we end up both turning right on the same road. I'm behind her. I got my son in the car. I don't want to be behind this woman. I don't know what she's going to hit the brakes for again. So sure. I pass her in a passing zone, by the way. And my son's just like, oh my God, she was just screaming at you as we drove by her. We ended up being at the same stop sign a couple miles later, and there's a few cars in front of me. This woman gets right on my bumper and just, like,
will. Grandma?
Yes. And I can see her screaming at me in the rear view. And if she had just honked the horn, I would have been whatever. But she would not stop the fucking horn. So, yeah, I jumped down and was like, what is your effing problem? She's like, what are you doing passing? I'm like, you almost caused a fucking accident over there. You can't get around a bike. Like, I got my son in the car. And she won't roll down the window. She's just screaming at me through it. I'm just like, I should have just taken a hit before I left.
You jumped out of the car?
Absolutely. Wow. This woman pushed me to that point. So, yeah, I road raged a little at a grandma, but she was instigating at me. She almost caused an accident. I passed her safely at a bad, like, don't freaking lay on your horn like that to me. Just,
yeah. So,
no, sorry, grandma.
I've seen you road rage before, dude. You're scary when you road rage.
And you know, it's funny. A week later, I had another incident with a grandma around here. And this time I decided, you know what? I'm going to take this down. I'm going to try to calmly talk to this woman because I was in a roundabout and she cut me off. She doesn't know how to use a roundabout. And I pulled up next to this woman. I was just like, hey, just, and she looks at me and she gives me the middle finger. And I was like, no. I just want to talk to you. And I'm like giving the calming gesture. Like, I just want this old lady just keeps
trying to help an old lady across the street, basically.
Like, you're going to kill someone to get yourself killed. Like, I don't know why people don't know how a roundabout works, but I'm like, I can't win. I rage and it doesn't work. I try to calmly talk some old lady, it doesn't work. Like,
more pot. That's the answer, Steve.
Yes.
More pot.
Yes.
Hey, have you followed at all what's going on with the in Virginia, the attorney general's race? Do you know anything about what I'm referring to?
Is this the dude sending violent, threatening texts?
Yes, dude. I mean, this is pretty insane. I don't know if you know it, but Jason Mieres is Virginia's first Hispanic attorney general, known for his tough-on-crime focus and his emphasis on public safety. Jay Jones, a former state delegate and former assistant attorney general for Washington, D.C., with a background in voting rights advocacy. These guys are, you know, fighting it out, basically, on stage in debates. And this guy Jones, Jay Jones, said a ton of really weird stuff. And maybe it's more than really weird stuff. Trump was asked about Jay Jones, and he had kind of a funny response to it. I'll play it for you.
Jay Jones in Virginia
said, Jay Jones, you mean the one that wanted to kill somebody's children and kill somebody? You mean the animal that wanted to kill somebody who should not be allowed to be running for that office?
Yeah, he said he can't wait to see you in court. I'm wondering if you have a response and if you're considering getting involved in that race.
Well, what is he saying?
He said in the debate on Thursday night that he can't wait to sue your administration and see you in court.
No, he's a third-rate intellect. He's a guy who... I've never seen anybody say what he said, that he wanted to kill his opponent's children. He wanted to kill his opponent.
Giving Trump some new ideas, you know, for sure. He goes on to just, you know, continue. He's a third grade intellect guy. But this is something, dude. This is from the actual debate.
And I find it a little bit stunning that today you say one of the pillars of your public safety platform is protecting children. Were you protecting Jennifer's children when you said you wanted to see them die in their mother's arms? How can anybody who's ever worked in any of the crimes against children, all of the areas of federal and state local law department, how can they ever take you seriously, be the top prosecutor, knowing that you view that children should die to advance a political agenda? It's unconscionable, and if you were truly sorry, you would not be running for this office because you disqualified yourself.
So some of the shit that he said, dude, was talking about like three people, two bullets, basically picking who he would shoot out of the three. Right. He said that he wanted to piss on the graves of his opponent's children, you know, stuff like that. Can you believe that this guy, he comes out, he's made an apology here, and I find the apology somewhat comical.
And you're also going to hear from my opponent about text messages that I sent that I deeply, deeply regret. Let me be very clear.
Please.
I am ashamed. I am embarrassed.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I am sorry to Speaker Gilbert.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to his family. I'm sorry to my family.
Yours.
And I'm sorry to every single Virginian. Mm-hmm. I cannot take back what I said.
You can.
But you have my word that I will always be accountable for my mistakes.
Oh.
And you also have my word that I will spend every waking moment fighting for you.
The gall that it takes to get back on stage and be like, I'm sorry. You know, you have my word. I'll never do anything shady like this again.
Right. So listen, in a normal world, I would call on any Democrat saying something like that to get the hell out of the race. You're embarrassing all of us.
Yes.
But we don't live in a normal world anymore. We have a president who has set the bar so freaking high for inappropriate things, for calls to violence, for election interference, for deporting Americans. Like, until I hear MAGA world denouncing every freaking thing like that Trump has ever said, you don't have the moral high ground to denounce anyone else.
I agree, but I struggle with it at the very same time because I feel like it makes me one of them, and I don't want to be that, dude.
Well, listen, I denounce him in the strongest terms possible. But here, I mean, at least the guy owned it. Do you ever hear Trump owning something? Saying that he messed up, that he's embarrassed by his actions.
You're right.
Like on some level, you got to give the guy credit. He's trying to be a leader. He's mouthed off in private. He didn't think it was ever going to become public. But yeah, he put his foot in his mouth and at least he stepped up and apologized for it. So there are lessons to be learned in that.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, based off just our chat alone, people are like, he's sorry he got caught. Liar! You know, like, he apologized, but I don't think he's going to get the votes that he needs. I think, you know.
See, look at this. Freaking Michael Jackson, of all people, chiming in from the grave. You guys are violent and unhinged.
Who, me?
I think he's referring to us, yes.
Wow.
But again, this is what I'm talking about, man. Like, your leader, assuming you're a mega Michael there, like, no, I'm sorry, man, but your leader does not get to put his foot in his mouth constantly, embarrass the shit out of everyone, call for insurrections and violence and pardon criminal, and then you, oh, someone was pissed off in a private chat message, and you know, no, now we all have to, you know, freak out about this. Like, I'm telling you, I think the guy should drop out of the race, but he's apologized. He's probably not going to. I just save your outrage. until you, it's just like the Destiny thing with the Charlie Kirk shooting. He refused to denounce it because until Trump denounces it, what are you picking on the guys on the internet for? You'll let your dear leader get away with anything, but the accountability has to come from two talking heads on a podcast. No,
totally.
Bite me. Bite me. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying for sure, and I do agree with that. Yeah, and, you know, people will vote, and he probably won't win. So, yeah, I don't know. You do what you want.
I mean, he's not doing the Dems any favors, for sure. But, yeah, I just – my outrage meter has gotten so freaking high that it takes a lot to tip the needle any further, you know?
Yeah, people are reminding us of all the shit we've heard. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Like, you can't even put into the brain how much effed up shit that Trump has said throughout time.
And how many felonies has that guy been convicted of, by the way?
Is 34. It 34?
Oh, the other guy.
Oh.
The texture. Like, is he a convicted felon? No. No, he's not.
He's just now. I don't even think he's gotten in trouble for making threats. Like, he was just talking shit, right?
Yeah, you know who texts like that? Your mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, that's where we're at with our discourse in this country, apparently. Yeah. If I'm taking my, you know, my cues from the White House. So, yeah, your mom wants that. Your mom texted that. Your mom this, your mom that. Let me make an AI video of me taking a shit on all of you so that my fellow Democrats can hold me up as the supreme leader. Like, bite me. Just bite me.
Well, we go back to Saturday and think, oh, yeah, well, we had a great No Kings turnout, and that was a great start to the week. Here we are on Tuesday, and all this shit has already happened. So that's why we are now doing two podcasts each and every week.
That's right.
As we give you a political week in review two times, right?
Indeed. Yeah. And someone was asking on here, like, hey, is this show live at this time? The answer is yes. So every Tuesday and Friday, 3 o'clock, give or take. And that's Pacific time. So 6 o'clock on the East Coast. We'll be here. We're doing this. And it's all archived on the Really American page. If you want to see the video version, the audio version, you can find on all the major podcast sites.
Jim Phillips is talking about fake news, Steve. You won't find any of that here on The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and that's what makes this show so fantastic. Jim, thanks for joining us today.
Right. And a final farewell to Michael Jackson. D says, Michael Jackson loved blowing bubbles. Yes, that's true.
So. Yes, that's true. All right. We'll see you on Friday. Same bat time, same bat channel. Welcome to your political week, and it's all messed up, so we'll join you again.
Look, this has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Good day.